Medical information obtained from our website or on the live show is not intended to be a substitute for professional care. If you have, or you suspect you might, have an illness or other medical condition, you should consult a healthcare provider. The opinions expressed on this radio program are not necessarily those of the sports doctor, this radio show, or their sponsors.
Hey, everybody, live from Chicago. It's the Sports Doctor. Welcome. I'm Dr. Bob Weil, sports podiatrist. Again, everything sports medicine, fitness, wellness. It's the Sports Doctor. Hey, excitement with the World Cup, the women's soccer team. We want to wish them, pardon the pun, all the luck in the world. They are one of the best teams, so it's going to be exciting to see how they do. You've got a great doubleheader today, Dr. Kathy Weber. She's the primary care team physician for the Chicago Bulls and White Sox, Hubbard Street Dancers, the DePaul University. She's with Midwest Orthopedics at Rush. She's the president of Major League Baseball Team Physicians Association. So she'll be joining me. And then Robin Quinn Keene, she's the creator of this innovative Raising Quit-Proof Kids. Good luck to us. With the focus on lessons and activities in sports, music, and dance. You know, then it's the Sports Doctors In with your emails and some updates with upcoming shows. So let's jump right in. We're going to welcome Dr. Kathy Weber to the Sports Doctor. Again, team physician, Bulls White Sox, DePaul University. She is the first woman who's the president of Major League Baseball Team Physicians. Dr. Kathy, it's Dr. Bob. Welcome to the Sports Doctor.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Give us a little bit of quickie background on you. I know you were an athlete yourself. You were also a therapist with teams. Give us a little bit of background with you and leading into what you're doing now.
Sure. So I was an athlete in high school and college. I ran after college at a pretty high level. And I have an exercise physiology degree, so I master's in exercise physiology and decided that medicine kind of fit me a little bit better. So I went on and got my medical degree and did an internal medicine training and then went on and did a sports medicine fellowship. So I've been kind of doing the sports medicine thing at Midwest Orthopedics since I got done with all my training.
I remember there was a feature article in the Chicago Sun-Times, I can't remember how long ago it was, not that long ago, talking about you and, you know, being one of the first women in the world of team physicians, et cetera, and some of the different challenges regarding all of that from A to Z. You go way, way back again with the White Sox, and gosh, Herm Schneider, who was their athletic trainer for decades, we used to see some of his athletes, my gosh, in the 80s. He goes all the way back. So it's a great tradition, you know, that you're working with. And I think the fact of, in the world of sports medicine and team physicians, Dr. Kathy, the fact that you were an exercise physiologist, you know, so many of the doctors didn't know the first thing about that side of it. That's got to be a great marriage when you're talking about the responsibilities of team doctor, the fact that, you know all about the prehab and rehab. I think that's got to be a great addition.
Right. I mean, just the understanding that, you know, exercise physiology and sports performance, all those things, they add to my, my resume and, you know, bringing it all together, I think is, you know, a benefit to not only the professional athletes and the college athletes, but patients on a day-to-day basis.
Yes. You know, the idea, again, of the working with professional athletes, I've had the good fortune to also do that. Probably some of the guys on the teams that, gosh, I go back to Eric Soderholm when he's first working with, I don't know if you know Bob Guida, the famous kinesiotherapist did a lot of rehab. Yeah, with these guys. It's probably before your time. But working with the pros in so many of the areas, you know, on the sports doctor, we talk so much about the pressures involved in doctor. You get me better yesterday? So I always ask you guys, how your sports psychology skills are.
Well, you know, I think that our brain has a big effect on a lot of things. And in sports, I think, you know, it can make you or break you, especially in baseball. You know, so there's so many superstitious, you know, thought processes. And, you know, if your head gets into it in the wrong way, it can be a problem. But I, you know, I think that, you know, I think I'm actually pretty good at the sports psychology aspect. I don't have a degree, but I definitely factor it in when I'm taking care of these athletes.
Well, the fact that you were an athlete yourself, were you a runner in school?
So I ran, played volleyball and basketball, and then ran at a pretty high level after college as well.
Yes, gosh, I go back in the world of volleyball to, again, the late 70s with the national teams. The co-author of my book, hashtag Hey Sports Parents, Sharky Zartman, is a Hall of Fame volleyballer. Back on the national teams in the late 70s and 80s. I mean, I don't want to date myself or anything, but I guess I'm doing it. You know, what's interesting, Dr. Kathy, is I had one of the top people in sports performance months and months ago, and he talked about that of all the different athletes in different sports, he surprised me. He said, you know, Doc, some of the best athletes I've ever seen are the baseball players.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's, you know, good athletes in all sports. I mean, I think professional dancers are fantastic athletes, and they do it with a lot of grace. So
yes.
I think it, you know, I mean, if you've had a chance to go to Cirque du Soleil, those are unbelievable athletes that are performing.
Yes.
So I mean,
one of my great figure skaters, Madeline Stamen, co-stars in their on ice Cirque du Soleil, Crystal. So, yes, yeah, some of the most incredible athletes that you would see in all those different areas. Everybody, you're listening to The Sports Doctor, live from Chicago. I'm Dr. Bob Weil, sports podiatrist. Go to my website, sportsdoctorradio.com. You can go to radio shows. Gosh, you can go back to 2010. Although if you go to the archives, you go back another 10 years. And you could see some of the guests, some of the endless topics, and you could pick and choose whatever you'd like to listen to. You could zip over to newspaper articles and magazines, and you could read some of my latest articles in Lower Extremity Review. And we have all sorts of topics. What's the best shoe for your son or daughter? What about the pressures of youth sports and some of that crazy kinds of situations? Again, I can't tell you how many guests I get from Twitter. Also from LinkedIn, I think Dr. Kathy, I think I connected with her on LinkedIn. We have a big following. We publish a lot of important information in health, wellness, and sports medicine. Twitter is at Doc, D-O-C, Radio. Again, talking with Dr. Kathy Weber, the primary care team physician, Bulls, White Sox, DePaul University, Hubbard Street Dancers. I agree with you that some of the greatest athletes we've ever seen in the world of dance. Of course, one of my prejudices, Dr. Kathy, is to strengthen the feet and ankles and work those feet and ankles regardless of the sport, regardless of the level. And I know that you guys pay big, big attention to this. I remember we were talking about this with your excellent orthopedic surgeon, Dr. Brian Cole. But when you're talking about Team Doctor, you have quite a group helping you. Talk a little bit about some of the specialties that are involved on the team approach dealing with some of these athletes.
Well, so obviously from a daily standpoint, I mean, you've got your athletic trainers, you got physical therapists, you have strength coaches. So, I mean, they're working on all those components. They have massage therapists involved. So, that you know, the team that's there every day is that they're kind of the cornerstone. And then from a physician standpoint, you know, at Midwest Orthopedics, we have, you know, specialists in every orthopedic body part, foot, ankle, knee, shoulder. And in baseball, obviously, a lot of shoulder and elbow issues. So we have a lot of subspecialists that are involved when necessary. So if, you know, somebody has a bad finger injury or hand injury, we get our hand orthopedic specialists involved. So we have an array of people that are available at any time for us. And then we
My colleague and namesake, Dr. Kathy Lowell, goes back again way decades in podiatry. Again, with the White Sox, And I think he was also with the Bears in many respects. You know, so again, you have all of these different specialists. You know, the attention to nutrition, the mental game. We talk so much on the Sports Doctor again about the mental game. And all of those areas, whether it's an athlete who's coming back from an injury and it's those kinds of pressures. I mean, the pressures at the highest level of sport, you know, again, whether it's the dance company or whether it's, I understand you also work with a women's football team.
So I did. Unfortunately, after numerous years, they, lost funding. And so, I started a couple years after they started, but I was with them for probably 10 years, and then unfortunately, the funding died, and so did the team. So, but we got a national championship. The team was very good, the Chicago Force. So It was tackle football.
That wasn't the lingerie team.
Oh, I've taken care of a few of the lingerie players as well.
I bet you
so
have.
I get,
yes.
You know, they, yes. You know, they play what football. Is, you know,
what's the website people could find out about you and everything you do? And as far as with Rush, what's the best website for them to go to?
Midwest Orthopedics at Rush.
Okay.
.com.
Midwest Orthopedics at Rush, R-U-S-H.
Yep. So we're the Rush Midwest Orthopedics.
Yes. You know, what's interesting, too, Dr. Kathy, is that, 95% of sports medicine injuries are not surgical. So, again, the
correct.
Whole area of all of these other aspects of trying to keep the athlete in the game. And, again, how long have you been involved at any level with being a team physician with any of these teams? How long do you go back?
So I was actually as a fellow. I did my fellowship at the University of California, San Diego. I was affiliated with the University of San Diego, California, and also with I took care of Coronado High School. So yes, I got to go to the beach on Friday nights after the games, right on Coronado Island. For any of you out there that are familiar, but so I go way back to I guess 1999, 2000 when I first started taking care of teams.
Yes, and you know, the one of my radio stations, I spent 4 years with Healthy Life Radio, Manhattan Beach, California, and again, in the world of beach volleyball, and again, some of these great athletes in that regard. And you know, we talked a little bit earlier about, you know, your background, not only as an athlete yourself, so you're familiar with some of these pressures. One of the reasons I wrote the book, co-authored the book, hashtag Hey Sports Parents, is the epidemic of overuse injuries in youth sports, and the both physically and mentally, you know, with the kinds of pressures that we're looking at, and I'm sure that you're involved in a lot of that also when you're talking about, you know, the college athletes and your patient load. I'm sure you've seen, you know, plenty of adolescents and other boys and girls who already are getting very serious about that that area, and that's a whole other world, isn't it?
It is. It's a, you know, it's actually very much of a concern, the overuse injuries at young ages. You know, a lot of people believe, and you know, in my profession, believe that specialization at a young age is not really what we would encourage. And even if you look at some of the professional pitchers that play now, you know, they didn't start pitching until their junior, senior year in college. So a lot of them are more well-rounded in different positions.
That's wonderful.
So, yeah. 80% so we really think
of the
that
World
overuse.
Cup, yes, 80% of the World Cup women's team played other sports. But there's a chapter in my book that I wrote. It's titled The Prodigy Sports. You know, one of my poster boys is the 2010 Men's Olympic figure skating gold medalist Evan Lysacek, grew up in Naperville, Illinois. He was 10 years old when I put orthotics in his skates. I'm still putting orthotics in 10-year-old skates. But think of gymnastics, you know, ballet and dance, figure skating, where you have these youngsters, even soccer and tennis, where you have these youngsters. Hey, Dr. Weber, that's great. I know you want me to play lots of sports, but I only love one. So that's another special category, because we absolutely agree. We would want the boy and girl to grow up playing as many different sports as possible, because we start running into these repetitive motion injuries, again, think of these pitchers. You know, you still have these young adolescents. Tommy John surgery is done on teenagers today, isn't it, Dr. Weber?
That's correct.
Nuts.
It's
correct. Nuts. And I think that this is one of the things that I rant and rave about all the time on the Sports Doctor. Youth sports is a $15 billion a year industry. And the kinds of problems we see are big time. And, of course, when these kids will listen to you, because when they know absolutely where you're coming from and the area of some of these, again, overuse or repetitive motion injuries, and we try to get these, matter of fact, we try to get these specialist kids under the guise of a good exercise physiologist, you know, or physical therapist who could really try to give them exercises to give them their best chance of staying out of injuries. Of course, at the professional level, you know, between the Bulls and the White Sox as an example of professional teams, then, again, the pressure is really, really, really on with multi-million-dollar athletes. You know, Dr. Weber, I've got to play yesterday. Nutrition has become a huge, big deal probably over the years that you've been involved, hasn't it?
Oh, definitely. And, all our teams have sports nutritionists who work with us. You know, I mean, we are, our fuel is what we are. You know, if you put a bunch of junk in your body, you're running around on, you know, cheap gas. You really, you know, you want to have good nutrition to be really, you know, to try to excel in your sport.
Yeah, that's really great to see. There's been so much attention to that. Again, it wasn't all that many decades ago where you had, you know, the training table and people ate whatever they did. Hey, let's have that steak and mashed potatoes, you know, or a couple of cheeseburgers before we play. I think we've come a long, long way, baby, on that particular case where you have this. Again, I think the word fueling has been one of the most valuable words in sports medicine to get an athlete, hey, yeah, I understand what you're talking about. When you're talking about, you know, good nutrition, I might fall asleep. But if you're talking about fueling, then I might really, really perk up and pay attention.
Yeah. No, I had an athlete who was a high-level athlete, and his food basically was gummy bears and, like, peanut butter and jelly sandwiches.
Right.
So I asked him when he got his big contract what kind of car he was going to buy, and he told me some name I had no clue what it was, but I knew it was expensive. And I said, so what kind of gas are you going to put in that car? He said, well, the high-level gas. And I said, well, you like that car, it goes fast, right? He goes, yeah. And I said, well, your body is that high-level car, and you're putting junk into it, so start putting better fuel in. And it changed his mind. He got a chef.
Yeah, powerful statement. So much stuff, Dr. Kathy Weber. Again, Team Primary Care Physicians, Bulls and White Sox. I want to thank you so much for joining me. The time flew by. I've got to get you back and talk more about this incredible world that you're involved in and your background. Give us quickly again the website for Midwest.
MidwestOrthopedics at Rush.com.
MidwestOrthopedics at Rush, RUSH.com. Dr. Kathy Weber, thank you so much. Doc, hold on a quick second. We'll be right back, everybody. It's the Sports Doctor. Hey, everybody. It's Dr. Bob Weil, the Sports Doctor. I'm excited to announce the release of my new book, co-written with Sharky Zartman, hashtag HeySportsParents. An essential guide for any parent with a child in sports. You know, Sharky is a former Hall of Fame volleyball player. She's the mom of two daughters who became Division I volleyball players. Together, we have over 70 years of combined youth sports experience. The goal of the book? Give you the essential tools and guidance to make your experience as a sports parent the best it could be. Hashtag HeySportsParents is divided into four sections. The first section, Sports Parenting 101. Sharky talks everything about parenting, about coaching, that whole interaction between parents and coaches, coaching your own kid. What are the things to really pay attention to? The second section is the Sports Doctor's In, yours truly. My discussion of injury prevention and treatment, choosing the best shoes, youth sports and drugs, essential exercises, the Dilemma of Youth Football, Orthotics, third section, Experts Speak Out. We bring together eight different experts in nutrition and sports performance and mental training in all aspects of coaching in that section. The last section is the parents' perspective, some insights from about a half a dozen parents of athletes. So everyone, hey, get out your megaphone, spread the word. Now available on Amazon. Order now. You'll be more confident. So will your young athlete. Hashtag, hey sports parents. Hey, everybody, live from Chicago. We are back. It's the Sports Doctor. I'm Dr. Bob Weil, sports podiatrist. And we are excited to have Robin Quinn Keene join us. Robin is the creative of this innovative Raising Quit-Proof Kids. What a great title that is. And the whole area, again, you know how much on the Sports Doctor we talk about the challenge of youth sports. You know, my whole book is about that whole world. And this is an interesting area to think about, whether it's the kids, whether it's their parents, and whether it's sports or whether it's dance or whether it's music or the corporate world. Robin, welcome to the Sports Doctor.
Thanks so much. It's great to be here.
Give us a quickie background on you and your world of Raising Quit-Proof Kids.
Sure, happy to do that. So I have four kids of my own, and when my first one was born and in preschool, she wanted to quit suddenly when she had seemed so happy. And my inquiry started right then and there when she was about 3 years old, and I thought, what in the world? Why is she so excited and now she doesn't want to go? And I had a really pivotal conversation with her preschool teacher who said, hey, guess what? You're the grown-up. She doesn't know what she wants, and you get to decide. You get to commit to what her activities are as she grows up. And I hadn't really thought about it until that point. And then fast forward, I had a music and dance school, had, you know, thousands of kids over the course of two decades. And I watched this thing happen again and again. And once parents became clear about what their role was, things shifted, but until they understood what their responsibility and opportunity was, there was a lot of quitting going on. And so I think parents, some parents know, but there are lots and lots of parents that kind of wonder, well, where is the line? What am I responsible for? And what's my kid's responsibility here in sticking with things?
You know, it's interesting. So much of our Sports Doctor radio show, so much of my book, hashtag Hey Sports Parents, talking about the pressures, both physically and mentally, of youth sports. You know, Little League almost collapsed decades ago because everybody was quitting. They were tired of this regimen and pressure, whether it was the parents, whether it was the coaches, et cetera. So there's always been that side of things we've talked about over the years, you know, whether it was the problems with injuries or whether it was an overzealous parent. And the idea of having a positive approach to paying attention to, even being aware of, why is this going on, as well as a roadmap, as you talk about it, to try to make sense, to make things better, you know, makes an awful lot of sense. So what are some of the important points that you pay attention to in the ability to pay to be raising quit-proof kids? I love the title.
No, thank you. Well, there are a few things. First of all, I really encourage parents to be present with their kids. We are in, you know, a great time of amazing technology, except that, and that it has kind of taken over, and we use it probably more than we're even aware of. And that means, you know, I see parents hand little kids phones and devices all the time just to keep them occupied while the parent is occupied. And so, you know, I thought it was a challenge to pay attention when my kids were little and we didn't have that. Now I look at the draw of technology to be used both to, you know, keep your kids quiet, entertain them, and be distracted yourself. So I think if we're not present, number one, we don't even really have a chance here. at having an impact with our kids. So that's the bottom line for me. Another premise I have is that a lot of times parents just put their kids in an activity without ever really considering what they want them to achieve. Do they want them just to try it? Do they want them to complete it? Or do they want them to master a skill? And if they don't know, when their child decides, I don't want to do it anymore, which is natural, they weren't that committed to begin with. They didn't even really have a plan. And so it's easy to let them quit. And so another really big piece here is that the parent is the one initially, when kids are young, that makes the commitment, because children don't know what commitment is. They don't understand that any commitment has peaks and valleys and plateaus that last for short, medium, or long times, and it's always changing. And so when a child experiences, I don't like it this week, or I don't like to play that song, or I don't like that kid on my team, they go to, I want to quit. That's the solution. But a parent with a bigger picture understands, oh, this is part of what I need to help my child manage. And I have an opportunity here to show them what it takes to stick with something. So if a parent is committed, we can manage that. But if we're not even committed, then sure, we're going to let our child quit, try something new, let them quit and try something new. The danger that I see in that is that we establish a habit of quitting. And it doesn't just happen in sports and music and dance. It happens in school and jobs and relationships. And so it just establishes that habit of quitting that really can haunt somebody for a lifetime. And it's terrible to see that happen, but I think it's really prevalent.
Now, what ages, Robin, are you paying attention to regarding being aware of any of this? Is it anywhere, 4, 6, 7 years old, by the time your son or daughter gets involved in a soccer program or a baseball program, where you're starting to pay attention to all factors about this? Mm-hmm. Sometimes we talk about, the challenges with parents is, whose goal is it when we talk about the overzealous parent? And the parent, right, being the one who's so committed and putting this kind of pressure on. But from the other side, what ages are you talking about where the raising quit-proof kids starts to become relevant?
So personally, I think it becomes relevant the minute your child is born and you start thinking, oh, someday I want him or her to go to preschool. Right then and there, why do I want that? What would my outcome be? How long do I want them to do it? If we can look at everything that our child does from the time they're born and start early with them, we have a way better shot of keeping them in activities as they grow. If they've learned these things by the time they're 8, that's amazing. If they've had practice sticking with things at that point, that's wonderful. I'm really a believer from watching my own kids that I have about 10 years of being really influential in my child's life. And then after that, their peers become much more influential. Their teachers are much more influential. And so what I've taught them in that space of time is really what I hope will carry them into their future. And so, with my kids, they all were in soccer. Well, not the youngest ones, but the first three were in soccer when they were really little. And, we made a commitment to the team and to the period of time that soccer ran, depending on the age they were. And we stuck it out, even though they didn't want to. So when it came to the next round of soccer, they already knew that they needed to be committed. They knew we weren't going to let them off the hook when they felt like quitting. And so the kids grew with the idea, and as they took on bigger challenges, they were able...
Yeah, now, of course, that doesn't mean that the boy or girl couldn't change their mind on a particular choice on what they want to do or whether they're
sure,
still interested, et cetera. But you're really talking about at least discussing, communicating with your son or daughter about
Absolutely.
These important factors. Because again, whether it's becoming a good student by sticking with it, not quitting, or whether it's becoming a good athlete, these principles make, so much sense. So the idea of paying attention to this side of it, makes an awful lot of sense. What's your website people could find out about raising quit-proof kids?
Yep, it's just quitproofkids.com.
Okay, and the again, the ages, like you're talking about, starting from birth. It's an interesting point you made also. You have about 10 years to be influential. Mm-hmm. Good luck to all of us with the world of social media and the challenges that this has brought to bear, you know, whether it's kids being entertained by looking at a screen all day. I have a pediatric optometrist joining me in September talking about the myopia and vision problems that they're dealing with, because, or the chiropractic talking about the neck trouble by always looking at a phone. Some of this stuff is almost funny, some of the scenarios. To other parents, again, who have multiple kids in multiple sports, and everything from the financial side to the scheduling side to all of these things. You know, my book is all about the epidemic of overuse injuries in youth sports, you know, both mentally and physically. So you have a program, a roadmap, where parents can start paying attention, learning about, I would imagine coaches got to be a big audience for your raising quit-proof kids.
Right. Well, you know, it's really one of my commitments is really to people who are out there teaching and coaching kids, because having had my studio where I did that for all those years, you know, you get very attached to your kids and you really want them to have a success, and suddenly they turn around and go, and it's a real letdown. And, you know, you do this, you coach because you love kids and you want to see them succeed. And so I'm very committed to working with people who work with kids to help them understand how they can coach parents and how parents, what parents need to understand in order to keep their kids in so that they master a skill or find a success or reach a goal.
Why I always ask people like you, Robin, you know, with a tongue in cheek, I always say, I ask you how your psychology and sports psychology skills are.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
You're an educator.
That's right.
You know, you're an educator. And again, we are in an explosion of youth sports. Youth sports is now a $15 billion a year industry with all the ups and downs and various sides of it. And again, it's supposedly, we got to remember having fun for the kids is one of the key things. And as we start getting more and more serious and traveling teams and schedules and all of this stuff, and then we start running many times into the problems, whether it's injuries, whether it's quitting, you know, that whole side of things, you know, where all of a sudden when you started paying big attention to these things in your own world of your dance studio, what kind of a difference did that make in the participation?
Well, I think having, you talked a little bit about having real conversations with our kids, and I think that's a really critical piece. And I think if we're not willing to have conversations about why we're doing this, how long we're committed, how we make our decisions as a family about what activities when our kids are old enough to do that, that is a huge factor. If kids feel like they're not heard and they're just put in something and their parents are expecting great things and they're a letdown to them. I mean, kids don't have fun. They don't want to do it. But when we're in real dialogue,
they'll quit. I want to talk more about this. Again, we're talking with Robin Quinn Keene, Raising Quit-Proof Kids. We will be right back with her again. We'll talk more about this whole family dynamic. It's the Sports Doctor.
If you live in or near Aurora, Illinois, and you're into sports, fitness at any level, or your son and daughter is, you cannot forget about your feet. Your feet affect everywhere else. There are complex motions that come into play, especially in sports. Your ankles, knees, hips, and back all are affected with your foot mechanics. Come visit the office, Dr. Bob, and get evaluated. Check what shoes are best for you. I offer prescription orthotics, which is usually one of the major tools for treatment and prevention of foot-related ankle and leg problems. Also, enhancing performance. Step or two quicker. Call 630-898-3505 or go to sportsdoctorradio.com.
Hey, everybody. We're live. The fun of live radio. It never gets old. We're talking with Robin Quinn Keene. It's the Sports Doctor live from Chicago. She's the creator of Raising Quit-Proof Kids. Good luck to her in that whole area. It's a great topic. And I wanted to talk more about, you know, you talked about the family unit. It's such a big deal regarding, you know, communicating, find out. We were just talking on the first segment with Dr. Weber about kids who might specialize too early and the problems with one sport, et cetera. So, you know, having this awareness and discussion with the family is so important, where you're deciding or helping decide what type of activity, how consistent the activity. So, again, you're an educator. How are you involved in any of the schools in your world at all, Robin?
Not at the moment, but I have, you know, clearly had my own music and dance school, so I was very involved there and in the local community when I had it, yeah.
I would think that the elementary schools, junior high school and high schools, should be connecting with you with this kind of information. It makes so much sense, even if you're looking, again, at coming up with better students and better student-parent teacher relationships. You know, again,
that's
in
right.
the area of the sports world, where, like you were talking about, your kids playing soccer and your particular school and involving dancers and the importance of happily staying with it and those kinds of discussions. Talk a little bit more about what you include in your roadmap.
Sure. Well, so, you know, we do want our kids to be happy, and we want them to enjoy what they're doing. And I think one of the things that we can do to help them be happy and be appreciated for their efforts is that specific positive feedback. So, you know, when you're watching your child participate in sports, not looking for the critical components, but noticing specifically what they did well, like, wow, you were such a great encouragement to your teammate today. I saw that you went up and gave him a high five when he scored that goal or when he did that assist or whatever. Or, you know, I noticed how you really worked on your extension in your dance class today. I saw you doing that. It was really great. So I think, you know, coming from the positive, looking for what our children did well and not just a big blanket statement like you're so talented or you're so awesome, that actually puts a different kind of pressure on a kid, and it's actually counter to what they want to hear. Now they're feeling like they need to live up to something. But if you can give them that kind of feedback, that in itself can make a difference in your relationship around the sport or activity. One of the things that happens too when our kids want to quit a lot of times is we get into an upset with them, right? They want to quit when they're young. They can make it known by throwing temper tantrums, crying, whining, complaining, rolling the eyes. I have four kids. I know what that looks like all too well.
Right.
Right. And so the temptation is to get mad at them and to put your foot down and get angry and to tell them what to do. And I learned with my kids, when they're having a response like that, I leave them alone. I'll tell them, you know what, I know you're angry right now, and when you're ready to talk, you can come talk to me. But for now, I just want you to go and be alone in your room and work it out for yourself, and then we can have a conversation. And the thing I've learned is do not go back into that room 10 times and tell them to be quiet, because that just, you know, agitates them more. And so learning to intentionally ignore negative stuff and then have a conversation when it's calm and positively reinforce the little stuff, the good stuff that you see happening with your kids. That
I think
goes
that's such a key.
Way.
That's such
that?
A key. The late great sports psychologist who spent, 5 years with me on the radio, Jim Vickery, in the 90s, he had what he felt was so key with parenting the child athlete. Number one was don't be a critic.
Yeah.
And this is exactly what you're saying, which is if you don't have something positive to say, don't say it. And that you sometimes don't realize how this affects that young boy or girl, including the potential of them quitting. Where they've
exactly.
had it already. Once youth sports becomes like a drill or a job, then a lot of times that's the problem. That doesn't mean there isn't very elite child athletes who go on to become Olympians and with scholarships, et cetera, but it's a special breed. It's not mm-hmm. necessarily for everybody. But I agree with you totally around that whole positive side of things. You might have a son or daughter who's not happy with their coach.
Right.
Do you recommend in your world communication between the parent and the coach, also from a positive perspective?
Well, absolutely. And, you know, I think it's really important that we do have conversations with our kids and try to get to the bottom of it. Sometimes there are legitimate issues. Again, if we're not present, we're never going to know the truth. But being present with our kids, being present when they're at their activities. In my studio, we required every instrument or piano student's parents to attend every lesson because we wanted them to see the value of what was going on. And we also wanted them to remember and be supported when their kid wanted to quit. This is a natural part of an experience of a long-term
commitment. Prodigy, it's interesting. A chapter in my book is titled The Prodigy Sports. And this, I pay attention to the fact that, of course, the whole world wants kids to play multiple sports so they can use different parts of the body. That's great unless you're a gymnast or a figure skater or a ballet dancer and you don't want to do other. Mm-hmm. But when the prodigies, music, your son or daughter might be a great chess player. You know, they got all of these areas where you have these very talented kids, mm-hmm. And you're dealing with the ability to become the best you could be. Is a whole other area because, again, if the pressures mount, whether it's the kids always injured because of overuse and overkill or the pressure from parents or coaches, they will quit.
They will quit, 100%.
We pay big attention, again, to that. And then give us another couple of bullets of what you find important before we run out of time.
Sure. So I've talked about it a little bit, but, parents get in trouble, I think, a lot of times by just requesting a lot of things of their kids. So, hey, I want you to go do this or let's go do that or, you really should practice or it's time to do your homework. There's no structure for kids. And so there's what that sets up around any kind of activity is if parents aren't 100% committed and they're not going to require that their child do something, it sets up a battleground. There's this back and forth and back and forth and the playing out of, I'm upset, I don't want to go. And if a parent's not committed and they're not requiring something, it causes a lot of confusion for kids. And so I'm a big advocate for parents selecting the activity, committing to the activity, requiring the activity for a duration, not forever, but for whatever they've decided is best. And then not to go down the battlefield with the kids. It's like, look, this is what we're doing. Let's be really clear. At some point, you're probably not going to like it, but I'm here to stand with you.
Hey, Mom, I'm playing with my friends today, and maybe I can duck the game. Huh, Ma? Don't you think,
right. Gee,
I'm having such fun, I can duck the game, and you're saying, hey, you made a commitment to your teammates and whatever, and we
That's
expect
right.
you to be there. Does that sound like I'm talking about raising quit-proof kids?
It does. It absolutely does. And I learned it from my mom and dad. I remember, I had a babysitting job one night and I had a boy who liked me and asked me out on a date. And they're like, sorry.
Robin, I can't believe we're just about out of time. I don't know how we flew by so fast. Give me again, please, the website for people to find out about this, your programs.
Sure. It's quitproofkids.com.
Quitproofkids.com. .com.
That's
Robin
right.
Quinn Keen, thank you so much for joining me. Robin, hold on quickly. Everybody, we'll be right back. It's the Sports Doctor. Hey, everybody. It's Dr. Bob Weil, the Sports Doctor. I'm excited to announce the release of my new book, co-written with Sharky Zartman, hashtag Hey Sports Parents, an essential guide for any parent with a child in sports. Sharky is a former Hall of Fame volleyball player. She's the mom of two daughters who became Division I volleyball players. Together, we have over 70 years of combined youth sports experience. The goal of the book? Give you the essential tools and guidance to make your experience as a sports parent the best it could be. Hashtag Hey Sports Parents is divided into four sections. The first section, Sports Parenting 101. Sharky talks everything about parenting, about coaching, that whole interaction between parents and coaches, coaching your own kid. What are the things to really pay attention to? The second section is the Sports Doctor's In, yours truly. My discussion of injury prevention and treatment, choosing the best shoes, youth sports and drugs, essential exercises, the dilemma of youth football, orthotics, Third section, experts speak out. We bring together 8 different experts in nutrition and sports performance and mental training in all aspects of coaching in that section. The last section is the parents' perspective, some insights from about 6 parents of athletes. So everyone, hey, get out your megaphone, spread the word. Now available on Amazon. Order now. You'll be more confident. So will your young athlete. Hashtag, hey sports parents. Hey, back in action, live from Chicago. It's the Sports Doctor. I'm Dr. Bob Wild, sports podiatrist, and it's the Sports Doctors In segment, where we talk about some upcoming guests. We fit in some emails from you guys. Email drrwilsportsdoctor@yahoo.com. drrweil. sportsdoctor@yahoo.com. Send us an email. Great shows coming up next week. Joel Franco is returning. Joel is the creator of the soon-to-be-released documentary, Youth Sports, the Film. And what's with the $15 billion a year industry? Really, really looking forward to participating with him in that venture. You know how much we pay attention to youth sports on the Sports Doctor. Michael Klein. Michael is an insurance guy, a financial guy, and he's going to talk about the incredible important parts of families paying attention to being able to afford the kind of sports that their son or daughters might be in, or what about scholarships, and what about paying for college, and what kind of attention should they be paying? It's a big topic. Following week, Dr. Roberta DeLuca, she's going to be talking about her expertise in the whole world of CBD oil. Very, very exciting areas. You know, we've had experts on with the non-getting high side of hemp and medical marijuana, CBD. And then one of medicine's leading spine experts and spinal procedures orthopedists, Dr. Robert Watkins, will be joining us. Some great shows coming up. Hey, it's the Sports Doctors In segment. Where's the email? Perry says, tape helps with my plantar fasciitis. Does that mean that orthotics could be helpful? Plantar fasciitis, again, is inflammation of the arch and heel area. It's one of the most common problems I see in active people. And many times we will tape the arch right off the bat to try to do something immediately about excessive flattening of the foot or pulling and stretching of the plantar fascia. And many times positive result to that is a very good sign that orthotics would help. But I'll tell you, Perry, if your plantar fasciitis is ongoing or persistent, you want to pay big attention to orthotics. That's one of the biggest answers for at least 80% of these cases. Put the foot in its proper alignment, control excessive stress to that area. Very, very helpful. If we don't tape them, we might send them out for an over-the-counter support to see how helpful that might be. But it's a good, what we call, diagnostic aid. Charles says, my daughter's 14 years old. She plays serious tennis. She's got a wide foot. She's got sort of the bunion deformity that her mom and grandma had. Is New Balance shoes a good choice? Yes, it is, Charles. New Balance is one of my faves. It's width-sized, so it might be able to accommodate the wide ball of the foot, as well as maybe even a narrow heel in a 14-year-old. You also, Charles, want to pay big attention to seeing podiatry. You can slow down the bunion deformity, which is a dislocation of the big toe joint, with optimum proper prescription orthotics. And I've been doing that for decades when we saw that the inherited characteristic of that bunion deformity, whether it's a flat foot or a high arch, there is a mechanical inherited foot type that could contribute to this dislocation. And the earlier you pay attention to it, the better you are to try to keep your daughter off the surgical table. So see podiatry, absolutely, and pay attention to the role of orthotics. But off the bat with shoes, even though I would pay attention to what's been your daughter's favorite shoe, what's been most comfortable for her. And podiatry also could give you some good help and insight regarding shoes. But you want to pay big attention to looking at orthotics. Paula, along the same lines, says, my 12-year-old daughters have hammer toes like me. I'm 45 years old. I had surgery. What about prevention? I'm jumping right into the last email, Paula, with that. The development of the contracted knuckle toes or hammer toes later on in life. In podiatry, we'd see people with corns, hard excrescences of skin from that knuckle toe rubbing in shoes, and the development of problems that required monthly or every other month to trim it, even sometimes surgery, like Paula is saying. So your 12-year-old daughter, the earlier you include orthotics to try to control the foot imbalance mechanics that is involved with that foot type, makes sense. Now, we don't have a time machine yet. If we did, we might be able, with some of these families, for instance, that we've seen over the decades, we might be able to tell that 30-year-old to 25-year-old, what kind of change in that developing bunion were we able to accomplish with the orthotics, or if we never did them. But we don't have a time machine. My experience is almost always helpful, if done properly, that you can reduce the symptoms of those hammer toes, like ball of the foot problems. We usually don't see corns in kids, but you want to pay attention to prevention, absolutely. John says, how come it's 5 to 6 to 1 of ACL knee injuries in girls to boys? You know, John, it's been a puzzle, although it's definitely got some criteria and answers for years. As the young girls became very, very serious athletes over the past 25, 30 years, if not longer, whether it was basketball, whether it was tennis, whatever it was, serious young girls playing sports, this has been the dilemma. And there's a couple of reasons, and one is mechanical. Girls have wider hips. Females have wider hips. So there's a different Q angle, which is the angle of the knee to the thigh bone that we see in females to males. And this particular angle can increase torque or twist forces at the knee, which is one of the reasons why I've been putting orthotics in girls' sports shoes for decades and decades, even if their feet didn't hurt, because half of them, they were getting knee problems. So there is a difference in torque, and we want to pay attention to that, as well as hormonal changes, where there might be more flexibility in the young girl than the young boy. So this is something that physical therapists and doctors have been paying more and more attention to. There's prevention programs, strengthening, 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 alignment, alignment. This is what you want to pay big attention to. I'm prejudiced, but if you have a young daughter, she's serious in sports, see podiatry, include orthotics to the mix. It's almost always helpful. I think we ran out of time, so we'll catch you next week, the Sports Doctor. Thanks, everybody.